This episode of DJ Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday. No, that is wrong. Thursday, February 2nd, 2017. A four-game slate on tap. After a pretty crazy Wednesday night, not a good night for the judge. My plays didn't work out. Hopefully you did better than me. Hopefully you made some money. The scores were not super high because a lot of the chalk plays did not go have big nights. So, yeah. With that said, before we jump into the show, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Also, if you could retweet whenever I tweet the show out at around 4 or 5 in the morning or whenever you see it, obviously, send a retweet. Let it go across the globe. Also, as I've been, I think I mentioned on the last couple of shows, I have joined the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. I think the founder of that site, Chris Axman, hopefully I'm going to get him on the podcast. Right now, he's currently under the weather a little bit, but I kind of want to bring him on, and we can talk a little bit about that. I'm super excited to join. So I was hoping to talk about that on today's show, because it's only a four-game slate on Thursday. Wait, first of all, yeah, it's a four-game slate. So, and potentially, we have potential four blowouts. So it's going to be tournaments only for me. I wouldn't recommend cash games, and also I wouldn't play your normal amount on a slate like this. And I actually did the same thing on Wednesday. The slate was just too large. 12 games, it was too many. As much as I tried to reduce the player pool, I ended up not playing my normal amount because it was, you knew so many weird things were going to happen. And sure enough, it happened. Things like Tristan Thompson, the Trisket, putting up over 40 FanDuel points. And, you know, when you have 12 games, you know you're going to have so many bums go off. So it was not the right day for me to play a ton of money. A good thing I didn't. Also, please download the app Draft and use the promo code DFBPOD when you download. I know a lot of you have downloaded it, and then when you do, you can't find out where to put the promo code. That's fine. Just let me know. You can tweet at me at DanielAGreen1 or go to the website, DGCourtroomDFS.com, and you email me there. And remember, when you do email me or tweet at me, just make sure to let me know your username on Draft. And then we will get you to make sure that I get credit, and more importantly, make sure you get your deposit bonus. Also, on Wednesday, we had the Chambers bracket, the 7-day battle to the death. It was a $10 entry fee, 128 spots. We got that full, so thanks a lot. The first round took place on Wednesday. Again, not a great night for the judge, so I actually lost my opening matchup. Unbelievable, because of Soul Crusher Carmelo, one of many Soul Crushers on this night. I think my opponent had Anthony Davis, LeBron, had a bunch of good guys. So I will not be advancing to the round of 64, which takes place tomorrow. But to those of you who advanced, those of you who joined, thanks and good luck. It's a lot of fun. I am pissed that I lost in the first round. I'm not happy about that, but that is good times. And again, if you're in that and you keep advancing, let me know. In term, what is that? What is it? You guys hear that? Bailiff, do you hear that? You're the worst. What? Who's there? You told me to play Sabonis. What? And Mello. I hate you. You're no judge. You're a court reporter. Whoa. Wait. Are you a troll? No. You are. You're a troll, man. I'm not. Give my money back. No. Dude, this podcast is free, man. Wait. Didn't I win you about $5,000 yesterday? Maybe, but that was yesterday. I lost today. How much did you lose? $6. Wait, $6? So how about you give me some of your money? Gotta go. Rotor Grinders rules. Aw, man, Rotor Grinders, that's messed up. That's my competitor, dude. Freaking trolls. All right, bye, troll. Sorry, guys, the troll had to make an appearance. And lots of trolls. When you have a bad night, part of the things that come with doing a podcast is that you get you get some trolls. So some of the hatred was coming at me on Twitter tonight. That's part of it. I thought some of it was pretty funny. So the troll had to make an appearance on the podcast. He sounded somewhat friendly until he talked about going to Roto Grinders. That hurt the judge's feelings. And he called me a court reporter. Then again, I know some court reporters are very fine people. I like court reporters. Where were we on the show? Then we were about to talk about Chambers, right? So Chambers for Wednesday. Man, there's some guys have been on quite the roll in Chambers, and there is currently, man, I mean, the top 5-6 spots are really tight now. Jeremy, the number one player, still has a pretty good lead in the power rankings, but suddenly, like 2 through 6 or 7 is pretty close. And that's because the number 7th ranked player in the power rankings, Berserko, I think it's Charismatic Enigma on FanDuel, got a back-to-back victory in Chambers, which is fantastic. Only about the third time this year that's happened. It's his 6th win of the year, his 11th time he's cashed. And also the number 5 ranked player, MG Fresh, won again. It's his 5th win and 13th cash. So really impressive. Those two have been on quite the roll. And also in the third Chambers that we had on FanDuel, DMOT B, what's your Twitter handle, dude? I do not know your Twitter handle. And remember, if you're playing Chambers, let me know what your Twitter handle is. Or if you do win Chambers, then let me know what it is as well, so I can give you a proper shout out on the show. DMOT B actually had the top score of the night, and it was his first win of the year. So congrats to all you guys on FanDuel. It was a good night. On DraftKings, where's my gavel? I object to all of you. How could we not fill a? Now, granted, the judge takes some blame. I did up it from a normal 50 spots to 75, but the demand on FanDuel is like 400 to 500 a night. We get like 6,000 listeners. How can we not fill up 75 spots in DraftKings? So I object to all of you, and I object to myself. I should not have upped it to 75. So that sucked. I think the last time I looked, it was around like 71 slots or something like that. So we just missed filling it. I'm going to put it back down to 50 for Thursday. Maybe I'll even make it smaller because it's just only a 4-game slate. But that was super disappointing because I was looking forward to on the large slate, I thought on a large slate, more people are going to be playing, but it didn't fill. I mean, in the past we were able to fill 75 people. So that was a little bizarre. I mean, on FanDuel, we'd fill that in like minutes. So Dream Killer, DraftKings Chambers. How about that for Dream Killer? Dang right. All right, let's move on to the actual Dream Killers. Soul Crushers. I mean, let's start with Soul Crushers. I mean, because there were guys who just blitzed your lineup so fast. And you know, you had that Golden State game, which was 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, Curry went nuts. Klay went nuts. Steph had 60. Klay had 50 FanDuel points. So those guys were in all the winning GPP lineups. And so you probably didn't know who was going to win till 1 a.m. Eastern. But you probably knew it by like 7:15 p.m. Eastern if you played some of the bums, some of the Soul Crushers in the early games. And there were none that were worse than Carmelo and Jonas Valanciunas. I thought both were good plays. And I heard some of the trolls were on me saying, and some people I don't think were trolls. Some people were just trying to be giving their opinion. And there's a difference between being a troll and someone who just, you know, disagrees with me. Which, you want to disagree with me, totally fine. Just don't be a troll about it. Then again, I care less. So, Brooklyn was starting Ronnie Hollis Jefferson. And some people were like, yeah, that's good. You know, the second I saw that, I was going to fade Melo. Like me, that played no role into my thinking about fading Melo whatsoever. Melo is way too big for him. He's got height advantage. If not a height advantage, a huge width advantage. He's much stronger. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson is pretty lanky. So the one thing I was thinking about the Knicks, obviously Porzingis came back for the Knicks, and I think it was like their third game in 4 nights. That scared me because Carmelo is no spring chicken. He's old. He's like 75 years old. In basketball terms, he might be like 100. So he's probably in a nursing home as we speak. But they played Brooklyn. It's Brooklyn, for gosh sakes. Everyone kills Brooklyn. I'm pretty sure me and you guys listening to the podcast could destroy Brooklyn. So he was abysmal. I think he shot 6 for 22 from the field, and he was lucky to even do that. And you could tell he was short on every jumper. He wasn't attacking the going to the hole at all. There were some times when he was posting up Hollis Jefferson, all he had to do was turn and he would have had a layup. And he would settle for a fadeaway jumper. It would brick right off the front of the rim. He clearly didn't have it. And who knows how much he's distracted with the trade rumors. Plus, the Knicks have been playing awful. And while it was a close game, I think it was like 95-90 or something like that. And for a Brooklyn game, that's not possible because they do not know how to play defense. And so if you played Carmelo, I thought it was still a good play. And especially like me, I only played tournaments on this slate because of 12 games. It was too much. It was a, kind of a data overload. So if you didn't want to play him in cash like that, I guess I would have understood. But I still thought he was in a really good spot for tournaments. And I don't regret doing it at all. That didn't work out, but that's I'm not going to base it just on the results. So Soul Crusher, Melo. Same game. I'm not sure if Joakim Noah has a pulse. Like, is he alive? There are certain games he plays like 10 to 13 minutes. I'm not sure if he goes out some games and like if he just doesn't have it immediately, Hornacek is just like, you know what, let's just call it a night. Like, why not just rest him then? Like, let him sit out like this, you know, the second night of back-to-backs or if you're playing third game in four nights. Like, why play him like 10, 12 minutes? Hornacek's a dreadful coach. Now, granted, he doesn't have a ton of talent, but what he's done, I mean, he's a dream killer as well. Objection to Hornacek. What a bum he's been this whole year. Granted, it was a bad hire in the first place. But I'm not sure why Noah starts some games. Just rest him. I mean, another guy, his body is about 105 years old in basketball age. So he barely played. And then Hernan Gomez came in and balled out of his mind again. He had like 16 points, 16 rebounds. He was excellent. But Joakim Noah starting was disgraceful. If took a chance on him, Soul Crusher. Jonas Valanciunas, huge Soul Crusher for me. He absolutely destroyed the Boston last time he played him. I think he had over 40 FanDuel points, maybe even over 50. I think he had a 20-point, 20-rebound game. This time around, he picked up two really quick fouls. Now, I was watching the Cleveland game, so I missed the start of the Toronto game. And then all of a sudden, right away, someone tweets at me, Valanciunas, two fouls. I'm like, what? How'd that even happen? The Toronto game has just started, so I didn't see the first two fouls. Then I did switch over to the game. I saw Valanciunas come back in, start of the second quarter. He picked up I literally tweeted. I mean, I'm not kidding. You can go back and check my timeline. I tweeted Valanciunas back in, and as I hit the tweet button, he picked up his third foul, and it was a cheap foul. It was off the ball. I think he was maybe going for like an offensive rebound. It was absurd. It was almost like either Dwayne Casey or the Boston paid the refs because his third and fourth fouls were absurd. They were not fouls. Anyway, picked up his third foul. He was done for the half. I think he had like four FanDuel points of the half. And right, you know, as I've said on previous podcasts, it's pretty amazing. And we need to do some type of study. When someone gets an early foul trouble, they almost never hit value. They never can overcome it. It's no matter if they're priced 3K, if they're 4K, 5K, 12K. It's like something psychologically happens where they go in the tank the rest of the game. And it wasn't surprising, especially a guy like Valanciunas, where he knows his coach hates him and he's on a short leash anyway. So it was painful. I was still hoping that he could come because he's not expensive. So I still thought in the second half, maybe he could come back. Third quarter starts. Sure enough, about 40 seconds into it, Toronto is inbounding the ball. He's about 40 feet away from the hoop. He's basically wrestling a little bit with Amir Johnson, another just disgusting Soul Crusher, and he barely touches Amir Johnson. I don't know if he was trying to maybe set a screen for an inbounds play, but it was so far away removed from anything involved that was going on, and the ref calls him for a fourth foul there, and that was basically it. The second that happened, turned off that game, didn't watch another minute, and it was pretty disgusting. And so basically my night was over. Because I had him in a lot of lineups at whatever time that was. I mean, basically it was over. When he picked up two fouls, I knew I was in trouble. But when he picked up that fourth foul, then it was just about over for me in a ton of lineups, especially when he had hashtag Triscuit going bonkers in that Cleveland game that I was watching at the same time. So he played Valanciunas. Not all his fault, but Soul Crusher. And that's, not all his fault, but also another reason why we really can't trust him for cash games, as much as I do think he's talented. Kemba Walker, Dream killer. If you're playing that that late game, you want some action in the late game hammer. You thought maybe Golden State, Charlotte could keep it close. Charlotte's been really struggling. They were down by 25 points in the first 6 minutes, it seemed like. And someone asked me on Twitter, like, why do I hate Golden State so much? That's why I hate Golden State so much. Every game. I mean, they're basically up by 20 points in the first quarter. It's just not fun to watch. It's not fun in real life, and it's not fun in DFS. And the fact that Durant went there, to me, is disgraceful. You go to a team that's coming off the best NBA record in regular season history. I mean, that's disgusting. I think in all forms of life, competitive balance is good. And that's one reason. I mean, we can bring it to DFS. Like, I am not a fan of this merger between FanDuel and DraftKings. Why? Because especially, you know, with Fantasy Aces leaving, and maybe at one show we can talk about that disaster with Fantasy Aces going bankrupt and some of those guys stealing player funds, some of the people that worked at Fantasy Aces. But DraftKings and FanDuel merging, that's going to create a huge monopoly on DFS. We're only going to have one site to play from. And they can basically do whatever they want to us. We have no say. When there's two sites, FanDuel and DraftKings, if we don't like what's going on one site, we can just go play on the other. But so, you know, what Durant did, I mean, now there's no competitive balance in the league. It's just not fun to watch Golden State be a 16, 17, 18-point favorite every game. I don't know if you're a Golden State fan. I'm not sure. Are you guys even enjoying that? If you're a Warriors fan, to know that you're going to destroy every team by 20 points? I don't know why that would be that much fun to watch. But Kemba Walker, they got blown out and he was disgraceful. I don't even think he had 10 FanDuel points. Reggie Jackson. Wow. If you took a gamble on him, not the night to do it. I did like that play in tournaments. He got benched. He got benched for Ish Smith. And Detroit, I think Detroit had an easy victory over the Pelicans. But Ish Smith came in and played really well, and Reggie Jackson got like 21 minutes. So dream killer for sure. Soul crusher for him. If you played Sabonis, you heard the troll. I didn't mind Sabonis because if you looked at – even though it was a 12-game slate, power forward sucked, especially like the mid-tier. It was like – it was all guys who were going to fall asleep on the court. It was Gorgie Dang. Serge Ibaka, which I did think was a somewhat sneaky play, he played well. But even him, he's a sleepy guy as well. I mean, it was no one that was really that exciting to play with a monster upside. So I thought some of the cheap guys, some of the – you know, guys like Sabonis or an Amir Johnson, because Kelly Olynyk was ruled out, and Patrick Patterson. I thought it was worth a gamble on those guys. Then you could pay up for some stars, like an Isaiah Thomas or someone like that. But Sabonis put up 25 FanDuel points on Tuesday, but he was so bad on Wednesday. The Bulls OKC game was pretty interesting because no one for OKC showed up besides Westbrook. There's some games where you watch them and you're like, dude, come on, pass the ball. Like, let someone else play. This was one of the nights where you were like, dude, don't ever pass the ball. Your rest of your team stinks. Oladipo. I mean, some of the guys didn't want to play at all. It was really embarrassing. So Westbrook still played well, but the Bulls, who have been a mess themselves, just blitzed them. So that was surprising. It's a bonus. He got a bunch of garbage time too, even though when the Bulls were up like 20, 30 points, they put him back in the game like late in the fourth quarter, and he still couldn't even get to 10 FanDuel points. It was really a disgraceful performance by him. Zach Randolph, Memphis had a nice matchup against Phoenix playing up in pace, but he didn't come through at his elevated price. Brooke Lopez, that entire Knicks-Brooklyn game was just horrifying to watch. Yeah, the pace was so bad. Like 8 million turtle emojis all over the place. So if you played Brooke Lopez, didn't work out. Paul George, he went back to being the guy from like a week and a half ago. It was a really slow-paced game against Orlando. That was another game that was not fun to watch. I tried to watch it. It was painful. I tried to gut out as much as I could. I mean, Paul George, he couldn't shoot. He shot 3-for-14 from the floor. I think a lot of it, though, was just the pace was just so bad. And he just looked super kind of passive. So yeah, it was one of those nights for him. And at his price at 9.5K, if you played him over Butler, you probably were pretty upset because Butler had close to 50 FanDuel points, whereas Paul George didn't even get half that. Paul Millsap, the Hawks got absolutely destroyed by the Heat. I mean, Miami is like the Globetrotters. basically the Golden State, it's gonna, you know what the NBA finals are gonna be? It's gonna be either Golden State Miami or Golden State Washington. The Heat have won like 10 straight now. I don't know how they're doing it. Dragic and Deion Waiters were great again. For me, I hate it because I hate the Heat fans right now because all they do is they've forgotten Wade so fast. And they're all trashing Wade down there. But they're playing really well. You got to give them some credit. But the Atlanta, disgusting performance by you guys. Every Hawk was a dream killer if you played any of them. Nerlens Noel, so his price skyrocketed up on FanDuel. And, of course, Coach Brown had to get wacky with minutes. So Nerlens didn't play a ton of minutes and didn't come close to hitting value. I think he played, 17 minutes. Yep. And he gave Okafor 24 minutes, Coach Brown. He gave TLC a little waterfall action. I don't know I'm a little probably older than most of you guys listening, but some of you guys must know who TLC is. But if you don't know who the band or the group TLC is, you should Google that. It's not as good as CJ Miles, but TLC, I mean, they were, man, back in the day, I think maybe it was when I was in college, or maybe it was, no, it must have been way before that. They were pretty popular. But TLC, this Luau Cabaret, I can't figure out a nickname for this guy. Maybe you guys can help me out. The guy who started for because Covington was out for Philly, so they started TLC, Luau Cabaret or Cabaret. So we could either go a hashtag Cabaret and do like some type of dancing meme whenever whenever I tweet out that guy's name, or we could go hashtag TLC. I'm on the fence on what to do for a nickname for that guy. So I could use your advice there. But anyway, TLC got 23 minutes, but really the minutes were a mess. And Saric got 24, which was pretty good. Ersan got 31, which I guess was okay. But Nerlens 17, that was not good. So at 6.4K, whatever his price tag was, he's basically going to be unplayable if he's getting less than 20 minutes. Tim Hardaway Jr., I mentioned everyone for the Hawks, just didn't come through. I thought with Sefolosha out, I thought maybe Tim Hardaway or Bazemore could have a nice night. Nope. And Amir Johnson, with Kelly Olynyk out, he got the start. I thought he was going to get a lot of minutes. That did not happen. I think he got like 14, 15 minutes. Not only that, then he also was the sole reason for getting Valanciunas in foul trouble. So double soul crusher for Amir Johnson. Dream lovers? There were some. Not in the judges lineup on this night. And this is why DFS is can be tricky, man. Like, anyone who tells you they don't have losing nights in DFS is lying to you. Like I was on a nice streak, really good week. And then I just got destroyed on Wednesday, and that's going to happen. Like DFS will humble you. You will eat some humble soup and a troll will come and find you. So especially if you try to get a little too confident or think you're hot stuff, because while, you know, there's people like me who can tell you who's the best play on paper or look at advanced stats, at the end of the day, we can't go out there on the court and play. You know, I can't tell you Valanciunas. I can't predict Valanciunas is going to pick up four fouls against Amir frickin' Johnson, that Melo is going to decide not to show up against Brooklyn. It's just weird stuff happens. I mean, we see it every night. Weird things happen at DFS. So, I mean, you're going to have a bad night. It just comes with the territory. Dream lovers. You know, as much as I want to say that they are every day. Golden State to me is a dream killer, and Durant especially for going there is a dream killer. But if you played Steph and Clay, I mean, Steph had 60 FanDuel points and Clay had 50. They went nuts in like three quarters as well. So I mean, they were in every winning GPP lineup that I saw. So if you play them, dream lovers. Frank the Tank Kaminsky, Charlotte got blown out. He ended up getting in that Golden State game, he ended up getting blowout minutes, and he ended up with like over 35 FanDuel points. So dream lover. I mean, that's why weird things happen in that stupid Golden State game. And you have the guys who are playing the maximum, you know, pros who are entering maximum entries, like 150 entries in each tournament. They're always playing the Warriors. They're always playing, you know, every player available on the slate. And so that's why they end up winning most of these large GPPs. They have 150 lineups. Most players have one, two, three, maybe. If you're like me, you have 10. But 10's not 150, so if you play Frank the Tank, you know, congrats, you probably did well. The Triscuit, hashtag Triscuit, coming off the worst game I may have ever seen anyone play, ever, and that includes YMCA, rec league ball, you name it, where he had zero field goal attempts, 8 FanDuel points, was a tin man. He had over 40 FanDuel points. He was everywhere. If you're watching that Cavs game, it seemed like he got every rebound, every layup, getting alley-oop dunks. All of a sudden, he became super athletic. It was disgusting if you didn't roster him. And I think he was about 2% owned in most of my single-entry tournaments. Drew Holiday, he played really well for New Orleans, man. Him and Anthony Davis, even though they got blown up by Detroit, they both played really well. It was I wish I would have had more exposure to both those guys. Seth Curry, I thought his price, you know, was going to come up. It did come up. I thought his price was getting to a point where it was close to being a little too expensive. But he was one of the best players for Dallas on Wednesday. Hashtag Yogi Bear was pretty good again. He started off slow, but he got there. And Seth Curry was pretty good. Wes Matthews was not very good. Either was Harrison Barnes. LeBron was good for Cleveland. Hashtag French Fry. I was not a fan of French Fry because I've seen this guy put up so many duds over the last couple of years. But he was good. All you do is watch the first half, though, to understand why he can be a frustrating guy to play. He had a great first quarter. He had like 12 FanDuel points and then didn't play a minute in the second quarter. And that's, you know, based on a variety of things. But, I mean, one of those was Tristan Thompson was going nuts. But second half, he ended up having a good second half. And I think he had around 30 FanDuel points. And out of all the cheap bum power forwards, he was, I think he was probably the best. Well, Kaminsky was probably the best. He was like second best. Rudy Gobert, I think I mentioned on the show yesterday, no one's going to play him. He had a nice matchup against the Bucks bigs who you can destroy. And he came through with a monster line, close to 50 FanDuel points. Speaking of 50, KCP, the second Reggie Jackson got benched, I mean, KCP, he was loving it. He was jacking up shots galore. And he got hot pretty early, and he went nuts. And he has shown that upside before. I didn't think he was going to pump a 50 in, especially in that game, but he did. So if you played him, congrats. Gordon Hayward, he had like 40 FanDuel points, 42, and for him, that's like a minor miracle. On DraftKings, he was pretty cheap, so he was a much better play on DraftKings. But so he came through, so if you played him, that worked out. Serge Ibaka. He was a sneaky play. He was under the radar all day. I liked him and Fournier a lot in that Orlando game. Fournier did okay, not great. Ibaka did much better. Anthony Davis, he played really well again. He was at close to 60 FanDuel points, maybe in like the mid-50s. He shot the ball a lot better than he shot the ball on Tuesday. So, you know, at his price tag, it wasn't an unbelievable performance, but, you know, it was good. And he didn't get hurt, and that's always a good thing with him. Blake Griffin. So Blake got like 34 minutes, and that was the whole key, the whole question going into, you know, whether or not he was even in play. And on FanDuel, I thought he was still too expensive on a 12-game slate. I didn't want to take the risk. On DraftKings, I did play him in all my lineups, and that worked out. But on FanDuel, it actually worked out too because he got close to 50 FanDuel points. The Clippers played up in pace against Phoenix. That was actually a pretty fun game to watch. Bledsoe went nuts too. So did, of course, our best defender in the world, PJ Tucker. Marquese Chris took 15 shots out of nowhere. I don't know how that happened. He only made 3 of them. But how the hell he got 15 shots? It was really bizarre to see. It was like someone else was in his body on this night. It was just keep note of that. Because if his usage rate goes up, he's going to be an interesting play going forward. And he'll help someone win a GPP in the near future. But Blake was tremendous, and the Clippers do play on Thursday on this small slate. Now on a back-to-back, how many minutes are they going to give Blake? And now Clippers play Golden State on Thursday. So, you know, we got to keep our eyes on the news and see how many minutes he's going to get. But he looked phenomenal. He was great. And so was Fat Felton, by the way. Waffle House Felton, who I think is going to be a really good play, because remember, Blake needs someone to pass him the ball now. And Austin Rivers is not really a point guard. So, you know, until Chris Paul gets back, Fat Felton could be a nice play going forward. I mentioned Bledsoe and Tucker. Hernan Gomez, I mentioned him. Since Noah doesn't really have a pulse some days, Hernan Gomez basically is going to be in play almost every game for me from now on, unless his price gets too expensive. Jimmy Butler was great for the Bulls. Man, they destroyed Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City that's the worst I've seen them look all year. And I mentioned the Miami Heat as a team. Dragic and Deion Waiters really good. Whiteside actually played well. I don't even know how many FanDuel points he had. He must have had close to maybe 35 or 40. One of the best games he's played in a while. And they destroyed Atlanta. It was impressive. All right, let's take a little trip to Vegas, shall we? So like I said, it's only a four-game slate, which is small. I mean, normally, like, I love, like, a 5 to 7, 8 game slate is like ideal, because it's still easy enough to differentiate lineups, and yet the player pool is not too massive. There's not too much data to analyze like there was on Wednesday with 12 games and you have 1,000 different players. But 4 games, that's tough. Everyone's going to be on the same guys. It will be hard to differentiate lineups, and that's one reason why I will be playing tournaments, and I will be playing a little less than my normal amount. And I'll take some risks. And as if you guys, you know, if you guys have done consultations with me or just listened to the show, you know that in tournaments, I because the payouts are so top heavy, I only care about finishing first. Like I will play risky guys, and I'm totally fine with finishing dead last in a tournament because I want to get guys who are going to be less than, you know, 10% owned, less than 5% owned if I can. And a lot of times when you do that in tournaments, guys are going to have duds. In cash games, obviously, you do not do that. It's a complete different mentality. But in tournaments, you know, you take the risk because, again, you're trying to – I mean, for me, the only reason to play a tournament is if your mindset is you're trying to win it. And to win it, you need about 2 to 3 guys who are going to be less than 10% owned. And they're less than 10% owned for a reason, right? Because on paper, they're probably not the best plays for that particular night. All right. Sorry. We got that was a little diversion on our trip to Vegas. We stopped in Tulsa. Now we're back. Now we're in Vegas. So there's potentially 4 blowouts here, which is also I don't know if I've ever seen a slate where every game could be a blowout. That's a little makes me a little uneasy. The game that should be a blowout is San Antonio or Philly at San Antonio. Spurs are favored by 14 points. This also is the worst over-under of the night, 209.5. You could make an argument, just fade this game entirely. But on a 4-game slate, probably not the best way to think. After that, then we got 3 really juicy games. You have Lakers at Washington. The problem is Washington has been playing as one of the best teams in the NBA lately. And the Lakers are disgustingly dreadful. So the Washington's favored by 11. And it's a 218.5 over-under. To me, that's like a low over-under. It could be even high. I would bet the over on that. Question is, can the Lakers keep that close? But lots of fantasy gold in that game. I mean, obviously, you can stack almost on a 4-game slate. I like stacking Lakers, Washington, Atlanta, Houston, and Golden State Clippers. And quite honestly, you could stack Philly, San Antonio as well if you want to be contrarian. I mean, basically, you could take one route, just build 4 lineups and stack each of the games in each lineup. And if one of those games goes to overtime, you could take down a GPP. I mean, weird things like that, you know, happen on small slates. Like next game up, Atlanta-Houston, 222 over-under. Houston is a 9-point favorite here. Atlanta got drubbed by Miami on Wednesday. So now they're on back-to-back. Houston is playing pretty well. Can the Hawks keep that close? Not sure. They've been bad. Then you got Golden State Clippers, 224.5 over-under. Both teams on a back-to-back. Golden State's only favored by 8.5. That's a minor miracle. I mean, unbelievable. Wow. I guess because it's at the Clippers. Well, without CP3, I mean, could Golden State blow them out? Sure. I mean, some people are saying with Blake back, the Clippers are so much better. They're going to keep that game close. I mean, Golden State has been destroying the Clippers, even with Chris Paul lately. So, I mean, they're so good. I mean, you know, who knows if that game's going to stay close either. All right, let's hop into the plays. And the plays, I mean, let me warn you, just sit down, be seated, because the plays get ugly fast at certain spots. Point guard, John Wall's 10.8K. So they upped his price, which I like the fact they did that because they're playing, you know, Washington's playing the Lakers. He is too expensive, but on this slate, he's in the great matchup. And if you want to use him in cash, I still like him better than Steph Curry. So he's probably going to be a lock for me in cash games. Now in tournaments, can you fade him? Yeah, you can, and try to go play some Curry, play some D'Angelo Russell, you know, or do a game stack with Wall and Russell. Yeah, you can get as creative as you want in tournaments. But for cash games, as of now, I probably will be playing him because point guard gets pretty nasty pretty early. And there is one value point guard who I like who I think is going to be okay for cash games as well. Steph Curry is 9.6K. I still will not play him in cash. Yes, he's been a lot better lately. He's been playing great. He's had back-to-back 60 Fando point nights now, and he's had both of those in like three quarters. Before that, he didn't hit 60 all year. I mean, last year he would hit 60 all the time. So he's clearly turned a corner. He's figured out something. He's become more involved in that offense. Is that more make him more appealing? Yes. Would I still prefer Wall in cash games? Yes. Will I play Curry in GPPs? Of course. Dennis Schroeder. Then you take a big drop after those two. Now we're down to Schroeder, 6.7K. With the way Atlanta's playing, I cannot trust this guy in cash games. Him and Reggie Jackson are somewhat similar lately. He gets benched some games against Miami. He played 26 minutes, only 14 Fando points. That wasn't really a benching. That was just they got blown out. But he's had two of the last three games. He's had 14 and 12 Fando points. That's horrifying. The other game he did have 44 Fando points. So is he becoming a Magic Mountain guy? Maybe. Also, someone was tweeting me about, you know, do we now put hashtag Triscuit on at Magic Mountain? And I say no to that because I don't even want that disgusting guy waiting for me in lines, you know, waiting for rides. So we need to figure out, I need some help with this also. I need like a theme park that Tristan Thompson can go to that's not as fun as Magic Mountain. So is there like a crappy theme park that he can go to? I don't want to offend anyone. Maybe like I think there's like a Harry Potter one, right? Like in Florida, something like that. He does not belong in Magic Mountain. He's not cool enough to hang with you know, the Zach Levines of the world. But the Dennis Schroeder, tournaments only. It's a small slate. Atlanta playing way up in pace. If they keep that game close, could he put up 40 Fando points? Sure. Could he end up being, you know, the top point guard scorer on the night? I mean, it'll be hard, but he could be close to Waller Curry. He does have a massive upside. D'Angelo Russell. Russell's always in play because he's got a massive usage rate. The usage rate is basically close to 30%. He's coming off a terrific game out of nowhere because he was injured for like four or five games. And then he put up 47 Fando points against, well, not, granted, it was against Denver. So, and as we've said before, you attack Denver guards, Moutier or Jameer Nelson. They're both dreadful defensively. So, I mean, Russell does have massive upside. And you want this Lakers-Washington game, the big question here, I already said it, can it stay close? Washington has been playing elite at every position. Wall, Beal, Otto, Markieff, Gortat, they're all playing good. Kelly Oubre is playing good off the bench. So can the Lakers keep this close? If they do, it's going to – and I think – and Randall, I don't even think I read the injury news. I think the only one that was even remotely important was probably Waffle House Randall, who is, you know, is still questionable. If Randall's going to be out, it's going to be guys like Russell and Lou Williams, maybe a Zubac, who have to pick up the scoring load. So D'Angelo Russell is a really good tournament play. I mean, a Wall and Russell combo as your point guards, that could take down a GPP easily. Then you got TJ McConnell against the Spurs. I don't love this play, even on a four-game slate. If you want to use him in cash games because you think he's somewhat safe, that's fine, I guess. I think he's going to somehow get you to 20 handle points, maybe 25, but don't love the play there. Then you got Austin Rivers. He's basically the same price, 5.8K. Another guy I don't like for cash, but when you look at his game logs, I mean, he's had eight straight games where he's basically been between 20 and 28 or basically seven out of eight games he's been in the 20s. And then he had one game, about 37 Fando points. So he seems to have a floor and ceiling like between 22 to 30 Fando points these days. Now the Clippers are playing up in pace. You know Daddy's going to give him a lot of minutes. Also, Fat Felton worries me a little bit on a back-to-back, so maybe he gets extended minutes because Fat Felton will be a little tired. So I think Austin Rivers, I don't love it for cash, but based on his game logs and the fact that Clippers are playing up in pace, I think it's okay. I'd be a little nervous, but tournaments, absolutely. Same thing. You could stack this Golden State Clippers game. If you want to go Curry, Austin Rivers, totally fine with that move. Patrick Beverley, him and McConnell, I basically feel the same way about, you know, and if you watch Beverley in Houston play the last week and a half, last 2 weeks, Beverley, he's still getting the minutes, but he has not topped like 25 Fando points in, I think, 2 weeks now, 2.5 weeks. So not really a guy that I see in a winning GPP lineup. Not a ton of upside. Although Atlanta point guards and Dennis Schroeder defense is really, really bad. So he'll be overlooked. He'll be underowned. So if you play multiple lineups, throw him in one. Jordan Clarkson, with D'Angelo Russell coming back, that kills his value for the most part. If he does get hot, maybe. So if I'm playing 10 lineups, would he make one tournament lineup? Maybe, because it's a small slate. Fat Raymond Felton, he's 4.6K, and I like him. If he's going to start, and hopefully we'll find out. The problem is this game's at 10:30 Eastern. But if we can hear early in the day he's going to start, I think he started against Phoenix, and he put up 25, 26 Fando points. He looks pretty good. He only had one assist. I think that's kind of a misnomer, kind of an anomaly. I would expect more than that normally. So at that price, that allows me to get Wall. That allows me to get a Durant or a Kawhi, a Blake, if I wanted to go that route. So I don't mind using him in cash games, and even a little bit in tournaments, don't mind it. Other than that, a point guard, then you got Tony Parker, and that's about it. Patty Mills, I guess, maybe. If it's a four-game slate, man. James Harden, 12K. So, again, there's like a kind of like you have to like think on a macro scale, right, when you're building lineups, right? And the first thing you always think is slate size and opportunity cost. You look at each of the positions. Shooting guard stinks normally. It stinks times 1,000 on Thursday. Yes, Harden has been bad a few games lately. He's been, even looking at the game logs, it scares me. 27 and 31 the last two games. But remember, before that, he's basically a lock for 50. He did have a game of 87 Fanduel points. Now he gets a dreadful Hawks team. Does the blowout concern you a little bit? Yeah. But if you're playing cash games, just put him in there. Lock and load. Don't mess around. You can't take the chance that he's – even if he gets 50, normally that's not good for his price of 12K. But on a slate like this, my thinking changes. I think raw number of overall points. If I have to play a couple bums to get me a couple stars – on a slate like this, I think it is worth it. And that's proven to be true over the last 4 years of my DFS experience on small slates. So Harden to me is a must in cash. Now in tournaments, can you fade him? Of course. In tournaments, you can be as creative as you want. That's where the fun comes in. But cash games, just put him in there. Bradley Beal, 7.2K. Shooting guard's bad. He's a one-trick pony. Am I a fan of the price? Not really. Right now, his ceiling seems to be around 35 Fanduel points because everyone's playing great for Washington. Everyone's getting shots, especially Markieff. Markieff is hurting Bradley Beal's usage. So I don't love the play. I do love the fact – I do love this game. I do think the Lakers stink defensively at every position. So is Beal in play? Of course. Is Beal a good play? Yes. Can you use him in cash? On this late, yeah, I guess you can. I'm probably going to go to get Harden, I'm probably going to go one value guy at shooting guard, but I think Beal's fine. Lou Williams, 6.5K. I'm going to game stack this Lakers-Wizards game. I will use some Lou Will. He's got 50 Fanduel point upside. He's, you know, last game out, 41 Fanduel points in 24 minutes. He is a fantasy point per minute monster. So, yeah, the price, I don't like that price either. That's too expensive for him, especially with Russell back. He's basically, his price right now is as if Russell is out. So don't like it. The minutes scare me. The blowout also scares me. So for cash games, I wouldn't do it. For tournaments, yes. Thompson, another guy I'm not going to use in cash games. Him and Steph, they've both been really good the last two games. He's at 50 and 41 Fando points. So for tournaments, of course. But cash games, I'm just not going to play the Golden State guys for the most part, even on a four-game slate, at least not Steph or Clay for cash. Eric Gordon, 5.6K, been very bad lately. Don't touch him in cash. If you want to use him in GPPs, he's due. He's due to have a 40 Fanduel point night. I think he was banged up. He was dealing with some minor nagging injuries. So, you know, he did sit out a couple games. So he's going to turn it around at some point. Remember, I'd rather be on a guy a day early than a day late. So he's going to go under-owned because he's been so bad. And on a four-game slate, you take chances. So I don't mind it. Tim Hardaway Jr., same kind of thing I just said about Eric Gordon. You take chances on small slates. So now he's a guy at Magic Mountain. 18 fandom points, didn't work out against Miami. 38 fandom points against the Knicks. Granted, that was four overtimes. 17 fandom points against Washington. So he's all over the map. If Cephalosha is out, I do think he will get extended minutes. He would have got more minutes on Wednesday. The problem was Atlanta just got blown out. So I think the price is fair. Now, for cash games, do I like him? No. I mean, give me J.J. Redick, who's 4.7K. But for tournaments, yes. Speaking of J.J. Redick, 4.7K. Very nice, logical, rational thinking cash game play. Not sexy, but we'll get a lot of minutes. Hopefully, Clippers can keep this somewhat close. Should end the night for you in the 20s and Fando points and won't kill your lineups and will be fine. Jamal Crawford, won't touch him in cash. But tournaments, has a little more upside than Redick. The minutes have been great lately. He's been getting in the low 30s. Blake back seems to have helped him out for some reason. Maybe because now the defense has to, you know, can't only key on Jamal Crawford when he's in the game. So 4.5K, I like the price. I like him as a tournament play. And if you wanted, you know, you can get super sneaky ninja and play a lineup of Redick and Crawford. Could both those guys hit value? Yeah. I mean, they basically say. So do I love both those guys? No. But let's say you play Redick and Crawford. Redick gives you 25 and Crawford gets hot and goes nuts for 35, 40. That could be enough. But I'm not a fan of that. I'd much rather prefer a Harden and Gordon as my two shooting guards for the same team. Then you got Nick Young. Yeah, tournaments. Danny Green. Remember, because of the slate, take a shot. He's been, you know, 18, 23, 20, 24. So he's not killing your lineups the last couple of games. And he's 3.7K. So, you know, if you're like stuck, let's say you have – you know, well, no, let's say, you know, you can either spend 3.7K and that will allow you to get John Wall, or you have to spend up to, you know, Nick Young and then you can't get John Wall. I'd much rather prefer to spend down on a Danny Green and to allow me to get John Wall. And that goes into my thinking a lot when I'm playing these bums. It's not only, you know, what is the bum going to get me? It's what does the bum allow me to do? Hashtag, what does bum allow me to do? That's a lot. It's a lot to fit after a hashtag. Might be too much. Is that it for shooting guard? That Gerald Henderson. I'll keep going because it's you know, gotta get crazy on this slate. Ginobili, Stauskas, McCaw. That's about it. Oh, TLC. TLC is a shooting guard. So if you want to, you know, want to go to the hashtag cabaret or whatever nickname we're going to come up with this guy, Timothy Luawa Cabaret for Philly. If Covington's going to be out again, if he gets the start, he's in play. I mean, he had 13 fandom points, but he played 23 minutes, so he's worth a shot. Again, don't love the play, but yeah, why not? Small forward, Kevin Durant. I'm still torn if I want to use him in cash games. He's expensive. I mean, they basically upped his price tag similar to Wall. So now with Stephen Clay playing better lately, someone's got to go down for Golden State. So who's had bad games? Durant, 40, 49, 42, 40, 44, last four games. With that said, on this slate, if he gives me 40, which I think is around his floor, is that going to kill my lineups? Probably not. So right now I'm kind of leaning where I think it's okay to do for cash. If there's one warrior to use for cash, him and Draymond both probably will be okay to do. Although right now, like if I'm using Wall and I'm using Harden, I don't have the money to use Durant. So right now I do not have him in there, but I think he's okay for cash. And obviously tournaments, yes. Kawhi Leonard, super expensive, man. He's 10.1K. The Spurs should blow out Philly. I mean, you look at Kawhi's game logs, though. Even in blowouts, he gets minutes, man. So normally I would prefer Kawhi a little bit to Durant, but I do think San Antonio is more likely to blow out Philly than the Golden State blow out the Clippers, although both could be blowouts. And Kawhi's super expensive. So as of right now, I can't afford him in cash anyway, so I'm only using him in tournaments. Otto Porter, 6.7K. Everyone from Washington has been good. but he's really expensive, and I'm not going to pay that price tag. I'm just not going to do it for a one-trick pony for cash games. Now, in tournaments, can you still do it? Yeah, but I'm telling you, if you roster him, you'll be watching this game on Thursday, and you will see 10, 12, 13 possessions go by where he doesn't touch the ball. Wall's going to keep shooting. Beal's going to keep shooting. Markieff's going to keep shooting. Gortat's going to be shooting. And you're going to say to yourself, is Otto even in the game? And he will be, but he'll be hiding in a corner. Trevor Ariza, 5.3K. He keeps, in my initial lineup construction, he keeps making my lineups because that tends to be how much money I have. So on this slate, I do think he's going to be a somewhat popular play. I don't love it, but it's just, again, some of it's just roster construction. And I do like teaming him up with Harden because I'm going to have Harden almost, especially in cash, I would have him everywhere. In tournaments, I would still play a decent amount of Harden. And I like teaming those two up because when he makes a three, Harden's going to get the assist. Ken Bazemore and Ariza, it's the same game. You could just have Ariza and Bazemore as your two small forwards. At the end of the night, you either be drinking champagne or more likely you'll probably be drinking Johnny Walker. But both those guys kind of are tournament plays only for me. I think Ariza is safer, a little bit safer of the two. Although Bazemore's been pretty good lately. I'm not going to count Wednesday because they got blown up by Miami. But before that, 34, 19, 41, 33. So I got to do a little more digging in there. But the more I think about it, Bazemore might be an okay play. Remember, Atlanta's going to be playing way up in pace. And Ariza defense, where Ariza used to be like a lockdown defender 4 or 5 years ago, he's not anymore. He's lost a lot of lateral quickness. So Bazemore's a very sneaky play, especially if Cephalosha out. If Cephalosha's out, he gets more minutes too. Iguodala, he just doesn't have much upside. So I'm never a fan of him. He could somehow stumble, bumble, fumble into the 20s. So, you know, if you can't pay up to get, you know, to get a Bazemore, Ariza, Iguodala's okay. Then you got you got Decker. If Houston blows out Atlanta, Decker could get garbage minutes and could put up 30 Fando points. So if you think that's going to be a blowout, Decker's okay. Brandon Ingram, not a huge fan. Kelly Oubre, the same kind of thing. If you think this Lakers-Washington game is going to be a blowout, then guys like Oubre and Ingram are going to be in play because they will get blowout minutes. And that's about it for small forward. Power forward, you got Blake Griffin. So the price came up a little bit since yesterday. So FanDuel did a good job of upping his price. Now it's all about minutes. So we got to watch the news. I can't give you an accurate analysis without knowing what Doc Rivers is going to do. Blake Griffin on a back to back. The Clippers probably know they're going to lose this game anyway. I would expect them to be somewhat cautious with his minutes, but I could be wrong. Coaches prove me wrong every night, and coaches are way smarter than me. I mean, they all have their PhDs. They're all at NASA. They're all, you know, we're gonna probably win the Nobel Peace Prize. So if Blake somehow gets a regular allotment of minutes, could he smash value? Sure, against Golden State playing way up in pace. But as of right now, 9.2K is super expensive. So if he gets 24 minutes, is he going to come through for me? Probably not. But tournament, yes, but let's find out how many minutes he's going to play. So if you guys want to tweet at me tomorrow or on Thursday, totally fine to ask my opinion on that. Paul Millsap, he's in a good bounce back spot here. I'm a big fan of him for tournaments. He had 71 Fando points, but that was a 4 overtime, so I'm not going to count that. He's been bad three straight games, 23, 13, and 29. So not a cash game play. Also, they upped his price, which I do not like, but I do like Atlanta playing up in pace against Houston, and I do like him going up against Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson, he's going to shudder in fear going up against Millsap. Anderson just stands by the three-point line defensively. Plus, D'Antoni doesn't want Anderson to play defense anyway. So Millsap should be able to get all kinds of easy baskets, easy buckets, and he should put up 40, 45 Fando points on this slate. Aldridge, nice matchup. I mean, if he wants to take Ersan Ilyasova or any power forward down low, he should be able to have his way with them on Thursday. But how many minutes is he going to get in that game? Not sure. Draymond Green. So I don't like using Warriors in cash, but because it's a 4-game slate and his price is reasonable, I think it's fine. And Draymond and the Clippers have this weird thing going. You know, he's a man without a usage rate, similar to Otto Porter, but he doesn't really he fills up the stat sheet, so I don't mind that for cash games. You know, it's fine. And he has upside too. So if you want to stack this Golden State Clippers game, does it make sense to play Draymond? Sure. And the reason why I do like him a little bit more is because, and please sit down before I say this next guy, because the next guy I'm going to say is priced at 7.5K. And who is that, you ask? Who is that? Are you seated? 7.5K. Not 4.5K. Not 5.5K. Not 6.5K. It's 7.5K. Markieff frickin' Morris. That's right. This guy's 7.5K. And it's warranted. It's totally warranted. I went back and watched Washington's last couple games, or at least clips of them, when Markieff was on the court. He's playing unbelievable. He's been lights out from the field. Most importantly to me, he's been rebounding the ball. Look at these rebounds last few games. 10, 8, 9, 11, 8, 9, 6, 12, 13. That's phenomenal. He's even getting some assists. So he's not even a one-trick pony right now. So the price is justified. Now he gets the Lakers without Fat Waffles Randall, probably Tariq Black's going to be guarding him. So he's in a really good spot. Now, the blowout worries me a little bit. The price, I still think the price does worry me a little. And at that price, does he have upside? Not really. I mean, basically now he's living in a house without a ceiling. There's no ceiling. But the floor is very stable. Like we can jump up and down on the floor. We can do jumping jacks. We can drop our heavy, dumbbells on the floor, and the floor is probably not going to break. So it's a weird little house. It might get a little chilly without a ceiling, but 7.5K expensive, but I don't mind it. This is where I'm debating him and Draymond Green are the same price. So if I had to choose between the two, I mean, it's really freaking close. I mean, it's hard. I think Draymond has more upside. Draymond's capable of giving you – then again, he hasn't lately. But, honestly, my head's about to explode. I'm still getting over this price tag. You're going to have to tweet at me tomorrow which one of the two I prefer. Stay tuned. It's like a cliffhanger. I can't even decide right now. My mind keeps telling me to Draymond over Markieff, but I think that's just because I'm seeing the price tag and I'm like, it can't be real. Can't be real. Can't be real. But he has been that good, I'm telling you. Nerlens Noel, 6.2K. If he's going to get under 20 minutes, we can't play him. So Ryan Anderson now, his price, he was 4.9K, 4.8K about 2 games ago. He's had 2 really good games, and now he's 5.9K. So now at that price, he's somewhat close to Markieff, not much of a ceiling. Although he could get the 40 FanDuel points if he's making all the shots. He's fine on this slate. In tournaments, obviously, you can team him up with Harden. You just got to hope he's making shots. Ilyasova. If there's one Philly guy that I'm looking to play, it might be Ersan. He did get 31 minutes. If he gets 31 minutes, I don't care who it is, even against the Spurs, he should be able to stumble, bumble, fumble, and hit some threes, get some rebounds, and give me 25 or so FanDuel points. David Lee, yeah, I don't feel this play. His minutes have been okay. They've been somewhat steady in the mid-20s. So maybe I'll reevaluate and play him a little bit. But if that game gets out of hand, David Lee's old. So they're not going to give him blow-up minutes. So we got to figure out for the Spurs who's going to get the blow-up minutes in this game. Is it going to be, Kyle Anderson, Simmons if he plays, Patty Mills, Dead Man Walking? It wouldn't be David Lee. Dario Saric, another guy for Philly. If I'm going to play a guy for Philly, I guess it'd be Ersan or Dario Saric. Saric got 24 minutes and he got 21 FanDuel points. And on a slate like this, that may be enough. We just need guys to keep us afloat. If we're spending this cheap, we just need guys to keep us afloat on this slate because it gets nasty and it's getting nasty fast. So Saric, he should be okay. If Covington's out, he should see a few extra minutes too. I wish he would start. He can play the three. But, you know, Coach Brown wants to give TLC some love. Montrezl Harrell, 4.1K. Houston's got this three-headed monster with Nene, Clint Capella, and Harrell going right now. So we don't know who's going to play. If Harrell does get the start against Atlanta, he's going to be in play for me. If he doesn't get the start, I probably won't have too much exposure. Now, since Houston's playing Atlanta and Atlanta has Dwight Howard, I would expect D'Antoni to play to start Nene. I guess maybe Capella, too, he could start. Next up, where are we? Any other power forwards that we can look at? Larry Nance. I wish we could play Larry Nance Jr. I wish, but Luke Walton gave him 18 minutes last game. So not really enough. All right, center. So DeAndre Jordan is center's not great. Not great at all on this slate, man. So DeAndre Jordan, 8K, he got ejected on Wednesday. So that was not a good night for him. He was playing well against Phoenix. He had 32 Fanduel points in 23 minutes. He was destroying Tyson Chandler. I think I mentioned yesterday, all the extra shots, playing up in pace. He was on pace to have a really nice night. So it's a shame. He's in a good spot here. Golden State, they're small, man. They have no one that can rebound the ball against DeAndre Jordan. So every rebound in the free world should be his. 8K, it's expensive, but center stinks, so I'm fine with him. Any format you want. Dwight Howard, 7.1K. I like him too. I think he's in a good spot because Houston, I don't care if it's Capella. Capella's too skinny and too little, in terms of girth, in terms of width. And Nene is too fat and too slow and too old and not tall enough to defend Dwight. And then Harrell is just, I don't know, Harrell's super athletic, but Dwight's too big for him too. So Dwight, he's a man without a usage rate, but similar to DeAndre Jordan, except he's not nearly as athletic these days. He's not going to do much offensively, but Atlanta is also playing up in pace. And if he can't afford DeAndre, I think Dwight's a nice little pivot. And he's probably going to go a little overlooked. People are probably going to prefer DeAndre. So I don't mind Dwight. Then you got Gortat. I guess if I choose between Gortat, it's tough. I mean, I guess Gortat and Dwight for cash, I guess I would choose Gortat. He's been good the last three games because every Wizard's been good the last three games. Every Wizard's been good the last month. So he's been like giving you 30 Fanduel points, you know. The problem is all these Wizards are now overpriced. Otto is overpriced. Markieff's a little overpriced. Gortat's a little overpriced. Wall is overpriced. And even Beal's overpriced. So even though they're in a great spot versus the Lakers, we're going to pay for it, like figuratively and literally now. But I still think Gortat's okay because center just stinks. So, yeah, it's fine to do on the slate. Clint Capella. I think we're going to have to take some chances on, obviously, here. So in tournaments, Capella's going to be fine, especially if we find out he's starting. His minutes probably won't be great, but he's been able to give you like 20 to 25 Fanduel points the last four or five games, even only getting 20 minutes. If he could somehow get close to 30 minutes, he could smash. Zubac, 4.7K. So his price has come up a little bit, but the minutes have it, and that's the problem. So he's only got 21 minutes against Denver. He was great, 25. That's three straight games, 25 or more Fanduel points. I expect him to stay in the rotation. If Randle plays, I think he still will get some minutes, around 20 minutes. If Randle's out, he's a little bit more. So, yeah, he's fine. He's in play. Can he get super excited though? No, because Luke Walton does. He's not unleashing him. So yeah, I mean, use him. But it's hard to get super excited. Then you got Nene. If Nene gets the start, I'm going to play him. If he doesn't get the start, I will not play him. Tariq Black, he got the start last couple games, 18 and 30 minutes. I mean, if he can play 30 minutes, why the hell won't Luke Walton let let Zubac play 30 minutes? I do prefer Zubac to Black. The only way you'd probably play Black is somehow – you don't have 4.7K and you only have 4K left. So then maybe you play him as a punt and pray and start praying now if you play him. Mozgov, 3.7K. He's getting you 20 or so minutes, and at that price, he's in play. I prefer him over Black. And again, the reason you'd play him, get a Harden. It allows you to get a John Wall, a Durant, or whoever. So, yeah, I mean, this could be one of the rare cases where he could be in the winning GPP lineup. And then Dwayne Dedmon's 3.6K. If he gets extended minutes, he's a fantasy point per minute monster. He also could give you 20 fandom points. I mean, what I would do, let's say you're playing, you know, let's say you're not going to play a ton. You're playing three lineups and you want to punt center. You only have, you know, what, $4,000 left. Play the exact same lineup, but in one of them, put Dedmon. One of them, put Mozgov, and one of them, put Black. That way you're covered. Because how can we predict which one of those bums is going to go off? Also, I guess I didn't even mention, if Zaza plays, Zaza would be in play at 4.4K on this slate. He actually might be one of the best value play centers on the board if he plays. And if he doesn't play, JaVale McGee, who got the start on Wednesday, and he's capable of giving you 20 Fando points. So you do have lots of these cheap bum centers that you can take a shot on, and one or two is going to go off. Or you could avoid all that nonsense. Just play DeAndre, play Dwight, play Gortat, and then, you know, figure out the rest of the positions. All right, that's the slate. It's four games. It's actually four really interesting games because you got to figure out which guns, you know, you got to figure out several things. Figure out which, how are you going to, you know, what's your strategy going to be? You know, which positions do you want to punt? Where do you want to pay up? So it's interesting. Again, I recommend playing not your normal amount. I recommend going mostly tournaments, but it's your money. Do as you wish. All right, that's the show, guys. Hope you made some money on Wednesday. Hope you can achieve glory on Thursday. For me and the bailiff, court is adjourned.